Hello, watch lovers, and welcome to the podcast. I am Suhail Bhatia, and welcome you on this fascinating journey through the world of Rolex. This podcast comes to you from TURF, the Ultimate Rolex Forum, and you can find us at www.newturfers.com. During the course of these podcasts, I will be sharing the history of the Rolex brand, its founder, Hans Wilsdorf, as well as the history and significance of a lot of Rolex's popular models like the Submariner, GMT Master, Explorer, President, and many others. I would also be happy to receive inputs from listeners about what they would like to hear in these podcasts, so please email me at theultimaterolexforum@gmail.com. But first, we start off with some frequently asked questions about Rolex watches. These are based on questions that we have been asked numerous times on our forum over the years. And if you have a question not covered here, you may email me or visit our website and post your question there. Question 1. Is this Rolex on eBay a fake? Proceed with caution on all Rolex auctions on eBay and other auction sites. Positive feedbacks on other Rolex watch sales are a good sign. Ask lots of questions of the seller. Remember that the photographs in the auction may not be of the actual watch. General rule of thumb is, if the seller states that it's from an estate sale or similar, or was given as a gift, or pretends that they don't know much about it, or is a zero-rated seller, then forget about it. Question 2. How can I tell if my Rolex is real? Well, most members of our forum are familiar with Rolexes and can generally identify a fake Rolex from a good detailed photograph. So I welcome you to post those photographs on our forum and we may be able to give you an opinion. However, this appraisal is worth what you paid for it. Absolutely nothing. The only surefire way of figuring out whether your Rolex is real or not is to take it to a Rolex service center or a specialist and have them examine it and give you an appraisal. Taking it to a Rolex authorized dealer and have them give it a look may also help you. If they remove the case back and examine the movement, they will be able to tell if it's a genuine Rolex watch from one glance. From a casual external examination, some expensive fakes may fool a lot of people most of the time, but a Chinatown fake is not going to fool anyone. If you're buying a Rolex, then you want zero risk. Buy it from an authorized Rolex dealer. Anything else has to do with some degree of risk. As the old saying goes, buy the seller, not the watch. Question 3. Where are the Rolex model and serial numbers engraved? The model number is engraved between the lugs at the 12 o'clock position. You may remove the bracelet to see it. The serial number is engraved between the lugs at the 6 o'clock position. You may also have to remove the bracelet to see that. The newer models have the Rolex engraved rehaul and have the serial numbers engraved at the 6 o'clock position. The numbers printed on the bracelets and end links are part numbers, not serial numbers. Question 4. What is SEL? Solid end links, SEL, are the end links of the bracelet where it meets up with the watch head. Before the late 1990s, they were folded metal with small wings on the underside to keep them lined up. The SEL ones are a solid hunk of machined metal. Question 5. How often should I service my Rolex? Well, two schools of thought exist. Rolex and many experts recommend every 5 years for a modern watch and much more frequently for a vintage one. Proper service keeps it running smoothly, and a dry, grimy watch can wear and damage parts, making for a more expensive repair. On the other hand, a minority of experts say that periodic maintenance is not required. Just fix it when it breaks or loses its accuracy. They refer to their 30-year-old watches, which are still within COSE specs. Question 6. What are Tudor watches? Tudor is a brand owned by Rolex. They use Rolex Oyster cases but not Rolex movements and are priced lower down the scale. Question 7. What does T-Swiss made T mean? What does Swiss made T less than 25 mean? And what is tritium? The T means that the watch uses tritium as a luminous material. Tritium is a mildly radioactive material and will cause the luminous material to constantly glow for many years. Tritium's half-life is 12 and a half years. The radioactivity is not harmful if the watch is not damaged. And Even then, only extensive exposure is risky, such as the people that painted the dials and watchmakers. The T is marked on the dial as tritium is restricted in some closed environments, such as submarines. T Swiss Made T is the oldest tritium markings on the dial. Rolex introduced the amount of radioactive material to below 25 millicuries, and those on watches are marked Swiss Made T less than 25. Watches marked either Swiss or Swiss Made use Luminova, which is not radioactive. It must be recharged by a bright light and will glow for several hours. During the transition from tritium to Luminova, Rolex used some dials marked T less than 25 and simply applied Luminova. Question 8. Is this watch too big or too small for me? Well, we have no real opinion on the matter. However, current fashion dictates that a man's sports watch should be not less than 40 mm, like the Submariner, and a gent's dress watch should be around 35 to 38 millimeters, like a Datejust. Women's watch fashion has a great variability in sizes. Question 9. Why are Rolexes so expensive? Well, the short answer is Rolex sells every watch they make. There is no reason to reduce the price if that's what the market will bear. Nobody was ever forced to buy a Rolex, so if you want one, buy one. If you don't, the implicit question here would be, are they a good value in comparison to other fine watches? And I will not get into a debate in terms of brand and so forth. Question 10. Why are the stainless steel Daytonas so expensive? Well, the stainless steel Daytonas are extremely popular. Dealers frequently have wait lists, premiums over list price, or sometimes both. The stainless steel model is selling far more than the two-tone model, which is stainless steel and gold, and I am unable to speculate as to why they are so popular. Question 11. Why is the Rolex website so vague? Why isn't my watch on the Rolex website? Well, there are two possible reasons. One is that they want to encourage buyers to actually go to a dealer and hold a real one in their hands, so they are deliberately skimpy on details. The other is that Rolex sells every watch they make, so why bother improving a website? Rolex, of course, can be found at www.rolex.com. Question 12. What is the difference between the Datejust and the Date? Well, the answer is size. The Datejust is 36 millimeters and now 41 millimeters, and the Date is 34 millimeters, not including the crown. The Date only comes with the Oyster bracelet, whereas the Datejust can either have the Oyster or the Jubilee bracelet. The Datejust is more expensive, while they both use the same movements. Question 13. The coronet on my crown doesn't line up. Relax, that's normal. Don't try and force it. Question 14. Should the case back have anything engraved on it? The answer is no. The exceptions, though, are the Sea Dweller, the Milgauss, the Sea Dweller Deep Sea, and some ladies' models, and most Tudor watches. Some, such as the Comex Submariners, do, but if you're looking at a Comex Submariner, then I don't really think you need to be listening to this FAQs. Question 15. Are there Rolexes with display backs, also known as exhibition backs? Can I have one made? Well, there are only two known Rolexes in existence with exhibition backs, so if you see a Rolex with a display back, it almost certainly is a fake. It is, however, possible to have a watchmaker machine a display back for your Rolex, but the consensus is that it's a bad idea. The objections are that it would damage the watch's water resistance, and most people would believe that it's a fake. And Rolex movements are not highly decorated, and they're not really much to look at. Question 16. How do I clean my Rolex? Well, if you have a Rolex Oyster, you can wash it in warm water with a mild detergent and a soft toothbrush. Be sure that the watch is water resistant before you do this, which means that you've had it serviced within a reasonable time frame of about 4 to 5 years, and that the crown is screwed in tight. Rinse it off with warm water. Of course, don't do this if you have a Cellini or any other non-water resistant watch. Question 17. What's with the laser etched coronet that's on some crystals? Rolex began etching a tiny coronet on sapphire crystals from 2002. It's on the 6 o'clock position and require a very good magnifying glass or really good eyes and perhaps the right angle of light to see it. It's a counterfeiting measure and not all watches have it, but Rolex is slowly introducing it across the line. Coronets with the letter S in the bottom of it indicate that the crystal is a service replacement. Question 18. Can I swap out the acrylic crystal for a sapphire crystal? Well, the short answer is no because the cases are different. While it might be possible to get an aftermarket sapphire that will fit, it could affect the water resistance of the watch, and Rolex will no longer service that particular watch. A common suggestion is that if you have a watch with an acrylic crystal and you want a sapphire crystal instead, you could probably just trade it for a watch with a sapphire crystal. Question 19. What type of stainless steel does Rolex use? Most watch manufacturers use stainless steel, which is 316L. Rolex uses stainless steel, which is 904L, which is slightly different from 316L. While both of them have the same grade of hardness, the level of nickel discharge with 904L is slightly higher, causing an increased chance of allergic reaction when worn by people sensitive to nickel. While technically 904L is more corrosion resistant, this is typically a concern in industrial applications using steel in equipment for handling chlorides, sulfur dioxide gas, or other toxic materials. Almost no watch manufacturers except Rolex consider it worth using the 904L steel, especially given that the price for 904L is approximately three times that of 316L. Question 20. What are the different types of bracelets and clasps such as Jubilee, Oyster, Oyster Lock, Oyster Flip Lock, and President? I'll just run through them very briefly. Oyster. The Oyster is a basic deployment clasp that clips into place with some pressure. The Oyster Lock is the same as the Oyster with another brace that clips over the clasp to provide more security. To release it, you need to flip the brace open and then flip the rest of the belt. The clasp, sorry. Flip lock. Same as the Oyster lock, but with the addition of a diver's extension. The flip lock is a longer clasp in order to hold the extension. President. The President bracelet is named to honor Dwight Eisenhower, who once wore one of the first of the bracelet in the year 1956 when it was introduced. Rolex had given Eisenhower, as well as Winston Churchill, an 18-carat Datejust in 1946 to celebrate the winning of the Second World War. When it was returned for an overhaul in 1956, the new bracelet was fitted, and that's why the bracelet is called the President. The day date is frequently referred to as the President, but technically the name refers just to the bracelet. Question 21. How do I open the diver's extension in the Oyster bracelet? The diver's extension is on the Oyster flip lock bracelet. It's an extra folded link that can be deployed to increase the size of the bracelet to fit over a wetsuit by simply pulling it free from the inside of the clasp. The Submariner and the Sea Dweller come with the flip lock bracelet. If you can't figure it out, you should visit your Rolex dealer for help. On the SEL bracelets, there is a small O-shaped button on the link near the clasp. Press it and it will release the extension. On the non-SEL bracelet, pull the bracelet upwards, away from the clasp until it's released. It will require some force on the first few times, but tends to become easier when you've done it a couple of times. Question 22. What is the gas or helium escape valve on the Sea Dweller for? Please note, I am not a diver, so I don't know too much about this, but in saturation diving, the divers are kept at extreme pressure for extended periods of time. This allows the divers to spend more time working at greater depths without having to go through decompression between dives. The high pressure gas, frequently mixed with helium, will naturally seep into the watch as the crown is unscrewed, and due to the small size of helium molecules. When decompressing, the high pressure inside the watch can cause its crystal to pop off. As the watch is designed to take external pressure, not internal pressure, that's what the problem comes in. The Sea Dweller has a spring-loaded valve on the side of the case that will automatically open if internal pressure is considerably higher than external pressure. I hope that makes sense. Question 23. What does perpetual mean? Perpetual is Rolex's way of saying that the watch is automatic or self-winding. Perpetual watches have a rotor attached to the movement that rotates as you move your hand, and that rotor is geared down and winds the mainspring. Question 24. What are the different movements used in Rolex watches? Well, that's way too much information for a podcast, so I would direct you to our website, which is www.newturfers.com for more information on this. Question 25. The second hand ticking in my watch isn't smooth. It looks like it does about 5 ticks a second. Is my watch a fake? The answer would be no. The rule of thumb is that Rolexes have smooth second hands, means that it doesn't tick once a second like a quartz watch. A Rolex watch actually ticks 5 or 8 times a second, depending on the movement. Also, the Oyster quartz ticks only once a second because it uses an oyster movement. Question 26. My watch is running fast or slow per day. Is this bad? CUSC certification is for an accuracy of -4 to +6 seconds per day. If it's within that range, it's good accuracy for a mechanical watch. If it's considerably outside of that, you may have to get the watch serviced. Question 27. Does a new Rolex speed up or slow down as it breaks in? Yes, a new watch would vary slightly as the parts wear to mesh better and the oils become distributed differently. Question 28. My watch is a bit fast or a bit slow per day. What can I do? Well, you have two options. Different overnight positions affect accuracy, and this is only valid if you take your watch off at night, unlike me, where I keep my watch on at all times. If it runs slow during the day, lay it flat with the dial up, as this gains a few seconds during the night. If it runs fast during the day, lay it in a vertical position with the crown down, and you will lose a few seconds in the night. You could also have your watch simply regulated. A Rolex knowledgeable watchmaker can adjust a watch using a combination of a timing machine and information based on what you supply on how slow or fast the watch runs. That is generally what you could get done. Question 29. My watch is running several minutes faster or slower per day. Is this bad? Well, it could be good news or bad news. The good news could be that your watch has become magnetized. This causes the hairspring to magnetically cling to itself, so it acts like it's considerably shorter. This makes the watch run very fast. This can be fixed quickly and cheaply by any competent watchmaker without opening the case. The bad news could be that the watch needs service. It could be relatively simple, like the hairspring has become tangled up. I've heard of this happening to mechanical watches while clapping. I actually did that while I was playing the Wii. Or it could be that the oil has dried up and the movement needs a service and cleaning. Or perhaps something worse. So the short answer would be to get it serviced. Question 30. Should I wind my watch? How do I wind my watch? Well, if you wear your perpetual, which is your automatic watch, the motion of the rotor will keep it wound. If the watch is run down, then you should wind it before wearing it. To wind the watch, simply unscrew the crown and advance the crown clockwise to wind. About 40 winds of the crown should wind the watch completely. If you have a perpetual watch, you cannot overwind the watch. When it's fully wound, the mainspring will slip out inside the barrel, as it does when the watch is being wound by wrist action. It's likely that you will not be able to tell if your watch is fully wound, but don't worry, it will not overwind. Twisting the crown counterclockwise does not wind the watch, but neither will it damage the movement. There is some discussion about whether winding a watch frequently will prematurely wear the crown and tube, and there are differing opinions on that. Some say the watch is designed to be unscrewed and wound every day, and that will certainly last the 5-year service interval. Others say that it will wear prematurely. Either way, you choose. Question 31. How long is the power reserve? Fully wound, about 44 hours. The Daytona, in fact, has a large power reserve of about 70 hours. Question 32. How do I pull out the crown to wind or set the watch? Rolex Oyster crowns screw into a tube for water resistance. Unscrew the crown counterclockwise until it becomes free of the threads and then pull it out. But don't feel stupid for asking this because it's a very common question. Question 33. The date switches over 5.5 minutes after midnight. Is this a problem? Well, not if it's more than half an hour off midnight.
If it is, you should get your watch adjusted. Generally, the watch would change over 5 minutes before or 5 minutes after midnight. That's not a problem there. Question 34. What is COOSC certification and which Rolexes have it? Pardon my French, I'm probably butchering it now. Contrôle officiel suisse du chronomètre is the Swiss center that tests watch movements. The chronometer specifications are -4 to +6 seconds per day under a variety of temperatures and positions for large mechanical watches. COSE also has a test for quartz watches, but it is stricter and less common. In the year 2001, Rolex certified 761,601 movements, out of which 573 were Oyster quartz. The movements are tested partially assembled, and therefore the movement is and before the movement is installed in the case, and after final assembly, Rolex retests the watches. Question 35. Should I use a winder? A winder is a watch holder with a motor that rotates the watch so as to keep an automatic watch fully wound. Those with large collections frequently use winders to keep some watches that they occasionally wear wound, running, and set. This is helpful for watches that have many complications like perpetual calendars, moon phases, and the like, as resetting them for occasional wear is difficult. Rolexes typically do not have many complications, and the pros are that it keeps the watch running and the oil is distributed. The cons are that it may increase wear on the movement. Question 36. How should I store a watch I'm not going to wear? It's generally recommended that you wind your watch every few months to keep the oils distributed. It is generally recommended that you have your watch serviced after an extended idle period of several years. Other than that, just store it at room temperature in a dry environment. Question 37. What is a sweep seconds hand? A sweep second hand is one that is mounted on the center of the dial and sweeps over the entire face. This is in contrast to the second sub-dial, which is typically at 6 o'clock. A sweep second hand can be a quartz or a mechanical movement. It doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't say anything about it ticking more than 1 second or more smoothly. Question 38. Can I wear my Submariner or Sea Dweller while diving? Well, yes, that's what they were designed for. Of course, don't exceed the depth rating, but if you do, you'd probably be in trouble anyway. If the watch has not been serviced recently, having it pressure tested is a good idea, as the seals are only as good for about 5 years. Of course, do this and anything else at your own risk. Question 39. Can I wear it in the hot on the hot tub? Yes, a call placed to Rolex service center said it's no problem. Many forum members, who all appear to have much more fun than I do, say they do it all the time with no problem. The watch was designed to take hundreds of meters of pressure and shouldn't be and sh should obviously be able to handle a few feet of bubbly warm water. Some say that a hot tub alone is not a problem, but don't jump straight into a cold pool. Question 40. Can I wear it on a Harley? Yes, the movement is rugged. One forum member actually fell off his motorcycle and his sea dweller looked several millimeters thinner by the time he stopped. Fortunately, he was fine. The watch, while scratched beyond recognition, still ran and would need a new case, bezel, and bracelet. Question 41. Can I wear my Rolex in the shower? Provided your Rolex is designed to be water resistant, has been pressure tested, and the crown is screwed in, there's no problem wearing it in the shower. Some members recommend it as it keeps the watch clean. Others discourage it as the soap causes the bracelet and the watch to become a little dirty. 42. Can I wear my Rolex while golfing? Yes, I actually believe that Rolex is required while golfing. Question 43. How often should I service my watch? The recommended service schedule is about 5 years. Some people only have service done once the watch acts up or they have some problem with it. Some say they have gone through 20 years without a service. This in general is not recommended as it could increase the cost of a repair bill. Instead of cleaning, oiling, and adjustment would involve replacement of worn parts as well. Question 44. Should I send it to Rolex or have my watchmaker work on it? If the watch is under warranty, you should send it to Rolex for repair. You can either send it through an authorized dealer or directly to Rolex. One of the advantages of owning a Rolex is their worldwide high-quality service organization. Check the Rolex website for more details. Question 45. Where are the service centers? For which I would suggest you go to the Rolex.com website and look at service there. They have a whole list of authorized service centers all over the world. Question 46. Can my independent watchmaker get Rolex parts? Well, there are two answers to this question. The first answer is for the USA. Usually, no. Rolex tightly controls distribution of their parts. Some watchmakers are still able to order from Rolex, but it's very uncommon. Aftermarket Rolex replacement parts are widely available. However, Rolex will not service a watch with aftermarket parts, or they will replace them with Rolex parts and charge you for the new parts. Outside the USA, yes. Question 47. Can I keep my old parts during Rolex service? The answer is no, not at a Rolex service center, but you may be able to do so at your independent watchmaker. Question 48. What is a redial? Should I have it done? A redial is when an old dial is stripped of applied markers and paint, cleaned, and has a new paint and text printed on it. If your old dial is damaged by water, for example, a redial can restore it. Redials frequently can be spotted by experts as the printing isn't exactly as it came from Rolex. If your dial is old, but not new looking, it is recommended that you do not get a redial as it will reduce the value of a vintage watch. Question 49. What is a reloom? If a watch has tritium luminous markers, they will stop glowing after a few years. Some watchmakers will remove the old tritium and replace it with Luminova. As with redials, cheap relooms can look terrible. Question 50. Are Rolexes good investments? No. The stock market, bonds, and other traditional investments usually do much better than watches. However, unlike stocks, you can wear your Rolex when you go windsurfing. Why do Rolexes retain their value better than other watches? Well, there are certain reasons for that. Firstly, is that Rolex is actually a very widely recognized and coveted brand. This creates a huge market for used watches. Secondly, Rolex design changes are very slow and gradual. Therefore, the older watches are not out of fashion very quickly. Question 51. What is a red Submariner? For a relatively short period of time, Rolex printed the word Submariner in red on the dials. Aside from the printing, there is nothing different about these watches, but as they are rare, they are collectible. There is also a watch called the Red Sea Dweller. For more information, you could go to www.redwatches.com. He is a fellow forum member from New Turfers. Question 52. What is a Comex Submariner? Comex is a diving company. They had customized Rolex Submariners and Sea Dwellers made for them with their logo on the front and engraving on the back. They're extremely rare and very collectible. Well, this brings us to the end of our podcast, and I look forward to hearing from you via email. So please email me or come to our website. You can email us at the ultimate Rolex forum at gmail.com, or you could visit our website, which is www.newturfers.com. You may also visit the site to buy or sell watches, connect with thousands of Rolex members from around the world. And if you'd like to donate some money to keep the podcast going, please PayPal us at the ultimate Rolex forum at gmail.com. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Goodbye.